The interest by federal agencies in all things Silicon Valley continues to crescendo, but are DHS and the Defense Department overlooking their own backyard? One local venture capitalist thinks so. Jonathan Aberman is chairman of Amplifier Ventures and of Tandem NSI, and Jonathan, looks like another gambit from Homeland Security headed out to Silicon Valley. What were they after this time?
Well, Silicon Valley continues to sing the siren song of where the agencies must go for innovation. Speaking for all the entrepreneurs and innovators that are around the country, or particularly in this region, I want to tell Reggie Brothers, hey, pay attention to us over here. But more seriously, I want to tip my cap to DHS. They took advantage of the other transaction authorization statute, and they've created a very, very innovative program around it.
Tell us about that statute for a moment. What does that one do?
The transaction authorizations, Tom, sorry, a little bit inside baseball there. So the federal acquisition rules are very structured, and as a result, they are very hard for entrepreneurs to work with. And what's happening now more and more, I see this more and more frequently in my interactions with the agencies through Tandem NSI, is that the government is trying to find contractual on-ramps to help innovators get involved in national security innovation in the way that entrepreneurs like to do so, which is rapidly with easier contracting and so forth. So the robotic fast track program, for example, that you and I talked about last month when I was together, is an example of DARPA doing that with a rapid contract vehicle. Now, Department of Homeland Security is taking advantage of some other transaction authorization rules under the FAR, which will let an agency do contracting very rapidly to help innovators provide specific R&D type solutions. It's not an acquisition activity for getting into a program of record. It's a way for an agency to get rapid research and development done. And frankly, I think that there's enormous opportunity for the agencies in this area, and particularly in our region, which is what Tandem NSI is involved in. Having said that, the Department of Homeland Security opened an office out there, and with some really smart contract officers, some of whom I've got a chance to know, they have constructed a contract vehicle that lets the DHS find innovators and provide them with $50,000 really quickly to get them involved in working with DHS to get government access to commercial technology. Their first approach in this is Internet of Things, but they have various other things teed up that they could do. It's a great template. I know other agencies are looking at it closely. And our challenge for this region is, first of all, it's another indication that if we don't stay ahead of the curve, other parts of the country are going to continue to get innovation opportunities. And secondarily, again, for our friends in the agencies, they should remember that this region has more software engineers than anywhere in the country, and we have a lot of talent here. The agencies don't necessarily have to get on a plane and fly 2,500 miles to find people to solve their problems.
Let me ask you a practical question. When there is an event, say an agency is holding a vendor day or one of these vendor information days, there are hundreds, thousands of people in this area that track those things closely, and any agency that has something like that here, they will get a big turnout. In Silicon Valley, how does DHS advertise, here we are, we want to hear from you, when there's all those thousands of companies focused on everything but the federal government?
Well, I can tell you from our experience with Tandem NSI, we believe and we can point to data that shows that when you go off and talk with entrepreneurs the way they want to be talked to, it makes a big difference. For example, with the DARPA program that we help with, Robo Fast Track, they were promoting it the usual ways, FedBizOps, and the general ways that the government does communicate with entrepreneurs. And we got involved in over 6 week period. We goosed their applications to over 600%. And we did that by having a series of events here in the region and also around the country that went through the places that entrepreneurs go to look for opportunities, like TechCrunch and ValleyWag and online social media, some things that maybe many of your listeners aren't familiar with, but it's the primary way that the entrepreneurs hear about things. With respect to DHS, I'll give them credit. They had a great industry day. I heard wonderful things about it. They're using a vendor out there, SIR International, that has a lot of great exposure. They, for example, were the group that spun Siri out of out of DARPA. So I think that they are doing some things well. I don't want to suggest they're not. I want to commend them, and we should all commend them on taking this step forward. The challenge now is for the administration, the Department of Defense, DOX, and so forth, to see this template and learn from and apply it. Like, again, we've been advocating using Robotic Fast Track as a template as well.
Maybe they could try it, say, in Flint, Michigan, or...
Well, I would say that the... And I've given them DHS, this advice directly. you should go and try to engage with innovators in the places where they cluster. For example, if I was concerned about things like robotics, which I am, I would not lose out on going and looking at a place like Pittsburgh, for example. If I was very interested in medical device technology, I would go to Minnesota. If I was very interested in cybersecurity technology, I darn well would be looking here in the Virginia, Maryland area. And I think that it's really important that the national security establishment, having decided that they want to be involved with entrepreneurs, takes the time to understand where the entrepreneurs that do what they're interested in cluster, and don't just knee-jerk to go to a location because they think it's cool to be there, but to actually look at the clustering. And so, for example, Internet of Things, I believe the Department of Homeland Security is making a mistake by not having events here in this region, because there's a lot of Internet of Things talent here in this region.
We're speaking with Jonathan Aberman, the chairman of Amplifier Ventures and of the nonprofit Tandem NSI. It looks like, speaking of cybersecurity, that there's a lot of venture and merger and financial activity on that happening in this region. Big predictions for 2016.
Well, I guess you're pointing out to my comment in the Business Journal on late last week, where I was asked what I thought was going to happen in cyber in this market. And I said that I could see where there could be $1 billion of funding coming into cybersecurity and big data and data analytic companies here in the region. And that's a large number, considering that last year in 2015, we had all of $1.4 billion come into the market overall for venture capital. The reason why I made that statement, Tom, is, for example, I look at a company like Tenable Network Security, which got $250 million in financing in the fourth quarter. And I say, well, that's really interesting. And I look at companies like Threat Connect that got about $16 million. And I look at IronNet Cybersecurity that got $25 million. And what I see is that there are a fair number of companies now in our market that are doing really interesting things, like an Invincia, for example, here in Arlington, that are growing rapidly and getting really interesting innovations underway that lead me to think that we have companies that are becoming more suitable for expansion rounds of venture capital. That's one of the reasons why I drive the large number. The second reason why is, if you look at things, for example, what the auto industry is starting to do around standardization, and if you look at efforts that NIST and others are having to try to create more information sharing and sandboxes for innovators, all those things are going to create proximity and a reason for why it makes sense to operate here in our region. There are two other things that drive my conclusion that the region's poised for more growth. One is, you always have in a region greater growth where you have a bellwether company, one that has been successful that then spins out talent. AOL drove consumer internet here, for example, for many, many years and still does. I think that the SourceFire deal with Cisco and the talent pool that's been freed up now as standstill periods are leaving and so forth, you are going to see a large number of companies benefit from that. And the last one is, I just think that we are just at a point right now in our history with things like Internet of Things, with things like healthcare reform, with things like cybersecurity and terrorism, the demand for these type of solutions, frankly, is going to increase, not decrease. And we are really well positioned here.
And now we have this latest report of how much cybersecurity is a threat to the private companies doing work for the government from China.
Absolutely. And again, that acknowledgement that state-sponsored espionage against private companies is not a hypothetical, but an actuality. Listen, I have said many times on your show that national security these days is not just something we outsource to the federal government. The federal government, in fact, has a very keen need for the edge of our society's infrastructure, which is in private hands, to be as secure as government installations. And by the same token, our adversaries, if I use that term loosely, really don't care whether a server is located in a government installation or in a private place. What they care about is there data that they can use for economic advantage? Cybersecurity ultimately is the Wild West in the world of technology, and it's going to continue to be so. And unless we have innovation models that are rapidly moving, we will fall behind and we'll be harmed.
Jonathan Aberman is chairman of Amplifier Ventures and Tandem NSI. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.